Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Building on the Rock, which is taken from Matthew chapter 7, in which Jesus taught about two different kinds of people. The first built his house upon the rock by hearing and doing the sayings of God, and his house survived the storm. The second only heard but did not do God's sayings, and his house did not survive. The key is to hear and to do God's word. The storms are coming for everyone. It's only by building on the rock that we will survive and thrive and live in God's peace in the midst of any storm. I hope that this message will bless you.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are. We're so thankful. So thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for our redemption, for all that you provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to give your life for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that by your Holy Ghost, that you'll open your word to us and bring the understanding into our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. We come against any of the powers of darkness that would attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word. We believe that our understanding is enlightened to what your word has to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I began to look at some verses that may or may not be verses that you have looked at recently. And it was prompted by something that the Holy Ghost had kind of brought into my heart the other day. And I'm not going to get into a lot of that because I'm in the process of writing our monthly teaching letter that's going to deal more specifically with what the Holy Ghost has shown me. So if you're looking for teaching, I would encourage you to sign up on our website for our monthly teaching letter. As far as what we're going to talk about this evening, we're going to look at some verses having to do with the life that a Christian should expect to have after they have given their life to Jesus, made him Lord of their life. And we're going to begin with the last verse in the 16th chapter of the book of John. So if you have your Bibles and you turn there with me, I'd like to just bring out a few things here in this verse. This is just before Jesus is heading to the cross. So, you know, this is towards the end of his 3.5 years of ministry. And he's concluding his time on earth. And you would expect that at this point in time that Jesus is going to be speaking, you know, giving just the very most important things that he could say to his disciples and to the people. And so here in this last verse of John chapter 16, look at what Jesus said here. These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. Now you just stop right there and you raise your hands and you just thank Jesus for his peace. Thank you, Jesus. You've said all of these things in the 16th chapter of John so that I could have peace. Thank you so much for that. And if he would have just dropped it right there, I think most of us would have just been as happy as we could be. But he didn't just stop right there. Look at what he said as you go further into this verse. In the world, you shall. Now that word shall, let's just look at that for a second. It doesn't seem like there's any wiggle room with a word like shall. It's not like a word, let's say, maybe, or sometimes, or there's the potential for. No, Jesus is very definite. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now again, this is not one of those verses, generally speaking, that you're going to hear a lot of preachers going straight to, especially to start off their message. Why is that? Because I hate to say it, but I think, you know, preachers are like anybody else. They want the people to like them. And so let's give the people things, messages that are going to keep them coming back, keep them, you know, continuing to put their offerings in the offering bucket. And, you know, we want to keep the people happy. Well, God didn't call me to preach messages just to make people happy. Happiness is just an emotion. It's fleeting. You can be happy one minute and sad the next. God called me to speak the truth. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus is telling us here in this verse that he came and he said the things that he said here that we might have peace. But in this world, there's tribulation. Now, doesn't that seem to be diametrically opposed? How can you have peace when you live in a world of tribulation? Boy, isn't that interesting? Having peace in the midst of tribulation. That's a good title. I think I'll use that. Peace in the midst of tribulation. See, that right there should be the life of a Christian. Peace in the midst of tribulation. See, we're in a world that's fallen. You know, Jesus didn't come to this world so that we could have a more comfortable existence here while we lived on this planet. That wasn't the objective, that we could have a more cushy life, that we could have everything like all the rest of the world has. And, you know, when you say that, the danger that a preacher has is heading in that direction where people think that it's all misery being a Christian. And I'm not suggesting that at all. And I don't want you to get the impression that I am, because that's not true. You know, there is joy being a Christian, following Jesus. There's joy. There's peace. But see, those are not emotions that change with the, you know, with every passing wind. These are things that are spiritual forces that come out of your reborn human spirit. And that's what Paul taught us in Galatians when he taught about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. Those things that come out of, from the inside, from your reborn human spirit out. And they are not contingent upon your circumstances. Glory to God. I mean, that right there is something to rejoice about. That your life doesn't have to be a bed of roses for you to live in the peace of God. I know particularly for Christians that live in the United States, that right there is something that they have difficulty with. How can you have peace when all of your circumstances aren't just perfect? It's because peace comes from another place, not your emotions, not the soulish part of you. They come out of your spirit. They're a spiritual force. And you can be in peace and experiencing the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You can have that when all hell is raging against you. And I'm telling you something, You better have God's peace. You better have his joy when all hell is lined up against you. You better know how to raise your hands and close your eyes when it seems like the world around you is falling apart. See, this is not a message of doom and gloom. This is a message of how to make it through when everything is falling apart. And you might say, well, Mark, I don't ever want that to happen to me. Well, I didn't either. But, you know, I was telling Debbie tonight, in the last 4 or 5 years of our life, I'm telling you what, we have experienced that. I didn't intend for it to happen, but it happened anyway. And it's wonderful to know how to make it to the other side of that. And the only way we made it through was by wholeheartedly trusting in our Father, our Heavenly Father, to take us from where we were through that horrible place to the other side. And I thank God for his peace. See, that's so important. That it doesn't, your life doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the perfect job, the perfect spouse. You don't have to have the perfect children. You don't have to have the most beautiful car, the most beautiful lawn, the best. You don't have to have the best education. You don't have to have go on the greatest vacations. See, all those things right there, the world looks at and they measure and they say, okay, if you have this and this and this, then you can be happy. And you have to have these things in order to be happy. And see, that is so wrong, because in a moment of time, you might have that, but it can be taken away from you. And then what do you do? What happens to your happiness? It's gone, and now you're filled with sadness and despair. You know, and these are the reasons why people commit suicide. They can't deal with the emotional roller coaster, the ups and the downs. And God never intended for us to live on an emotional roller coaster, up one day, down the next, up one day you're happy, and next day you're sad and you're depressed and you live in despair. It's epidemic, that kind of thinking. And it so permeates the society, especially in this country. And, you know, it's who do you know, and what, you know, who are your friends, and if you don't have these friends, well, you can't be happy because you're nobody. I'm telling you, that none of that's God. And God doesn't expect his children to live that way. He does not. He expects you to live in this world, but realize that you are not of this world. You're of another world because you have been born of his Spirit. You're a different person on the inside. You don't have to derive your happiness through your circumstances. You can live in a shack by the river and be in peace and worship Jesus and just be as full of joy as you can be, and thanking God every day for it. And you might say, well, how can that be? It's because your focus of attention is on him and not you. If you'll recall in our last message, we talked about the Lord's Prayer and how little focus there was on the individual praying the prayer, and how much focus there was on God himself. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, the focus of attention is on him, not you. Thy kingdom come. Well, is that my kingdom? No, it's his kingdom. Thy will be done. His will, be done. That, you're making a declaration. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, all of that is said, and not one bit of it has anything to do with the individual praying the prayer. It's about him. See, it's his kingdom that we have been born into, not our own. And as believers, we are to be focused on heavenly business, on the affairs of the kingdom. And what would that be? It is expanding his kingdom. How do you do that? By sharing the truth, sharing Jesus with people. It's just sharing his love with people, because it's his love that's going to draw them to salvation. Amen? So let's go back to this verse, John 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. Now, notice the word might. Not a definite, that you might have peace. And, you know, there's everybody, particularly in this country, you pretty well have access to a Bible. I'm holding one up right here. Very few people could say, I can't get a hold of a Bible. I mean, you can get them for free. You can read them for free online. So very little excuse about not having access to the Word of God. So you have access to what he has spoken to you through his word. And as you meditate on these things, his peace can rise up out of your reborn human spirit and bring peace to your whole being. And so if you're not doing that, if your focus isn't on his word, if you're looking at the circumstances that you're faced with, whether they're a mountain of bills, a mountain of debt, maybe the IRS is tracking you down because you owe them thousands of dollars, and that's all that you can think about. You lay in the bed at night thinking about all these things. I'm telling you, that's not going to give you any peace at all. But if you focus on his word, you put his word inside of you. And so, for some people, it's pain in your body. You're hurting. Hey, there's a lot of people hurting physically. And if you sit and think and dwell on the pain, or the, you know, you rehearse the symptoms in your mind. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Before long, all your attention is off of Jesus and on those circumstances, on those symptoms. And there's that will not give you peace. That will only cause you turmoil. And the next thing you know, there's no peace to be found anywhere. All your mind is consumed with is your symptoms. And believe me, I know, when you're hurting, it's hard not to think about them. But you have to make a concerted effort to pick up God's word, turn your focus onto his word, and allow his peace to come on the inside of you and minister peace to your whole being. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You shall have. See, he said you might have peace. You might have peace. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Notice the difference? So I want to have peace. And the peace comes from what he has said. Peace comes from his word, and that I meditate on, that it goes on into the inside of me. But let's read the rest of this. But be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that word overcome means to conquer. I have conquered the world. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've conquered. I've overcome. The world has been, all of the things of this world, he's conquered. Glory to God for us, given us the victory. We have the victory. So let the enemy rage, because I have the victory. See, that brings me great peace, because I know that my Heavenly Father has given me this victory in Jesus. I know that. I have it. It's mine now. I'm not begging God for it. I'm not having to wait for it to come in some future time. I have it now because Jesus has already paid the price for me to have it through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's an accomplished fact. So no matter what the circumstance is, you know, I'm not looking for happiness through that circumstance. I'm looking for the joy of the Lord, the peace of God through his word coming out of my reborn human spirit, that joy flowing, that peace of God that passes all understanding. Glory to God. And that's how God wants us to live right there. That's it. He knew we were going to be in a world that was going to be in turmoil, that was going we were going to be faced with difficulties, with sickness and disease, with maybe not having enough, poverty. He knew we were going to be faced with all these things. And even more importantly, let's say that, you know, we prayed the prayer of the Lord's Prayer last week. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We prayed for the will of God. We want the will of God for our lives. Well, what happens if God's will for us is to go into a place that, or to experience something for the sake of someone else, that for us, maybe it's not so fun. Maybe it's difficult being there. Maybe it's a struggle, a challenge. But we're there for somebody else. See, here we have to take our eyes as believers off of ourselves. We have to look to him and his will for our lives. Just like Jesus, just before he went to the cross, when he was in prayer and he prayed and it was as great drops of blood was coming through his pores as he was, you know, struggling with facing the cross, and the human part of him was struggling with that. And what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. He recognized that although the human side, the human part of him, because he's all God, all man, the human part was not looking forward to the tribulation that he was going to face on that cross, not looking forward to the pain, not looking forward to dying on that cross. And the human side of Jesus was struggling. His will didn't want to go there. But he said, not my will. I'm not going to follow my will, but thy will be done. Whatever your will is, God. And he set an example for us in that moment. He showed us something that there are going to be times as a Christian, as a child of God, when God is going to direct us into situations that may be difficult on our flesh. And he's not doing it because he doesn't like us. He loves us. But he also loves the people that he's sending us to help. See, that's the part of it that we have to keep in mind. He loves them as much as he loves us. Someone has to go and reach them. Someone has to be willing to go into difficult situations in order to minister truth to people so that they can hear the truth. And you might say to yourself, well, I didn't want to have to go work that job. That wasn't the job that I was trained to do. You know, I was trained for something much, much better. And here, this opportunity came and I knew it was God and I followed him into it. And the work is hard and I'm tired all the time. And yet, I knew this was God. And so, I guess I'm just going to follow him and the peace. I'm not going to be able to derive happiness, maybe, necessarily, but I can live in peace. I may not get happiness from my circumstances, but that's okay, because I can live in the peace of God, knowing that I am in the will of God, that I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. And see, that brings you great peace in the midst of the turmoil. And don't be ashamed of whatever it is he's having you do. The will of God for your life may direct you into situations where you're not, let's say, quote unquote, happy with your circumstances. That you can't look around at the things that other people have and derive happiness in your own life. Maybe you live in a bad marriage. You know, maybe your marriage is bad. Maybe your spouse isn't a Christian, and you're dealing with issues that most people look at and they think, well, if I lived that life, I'd be depressed all the time. Well, you know, people have a choice. You can be depressed. That's not going to get you anywhere. What's better is to live in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that comes from the inside out, and not allow your circumstances to dictate to you what your life is going to be like. If you do that, then you're going to be subject to that emotional roller coaster, up one day, down the next. You know, you didn't get that promotion, so you're depressed for the next 6 weeks. You know, your spouse left you, so your life is over. No, that's not the way life is supposed to be. You're supposed to look to Jesus. You're supposed to follow him no matter what. And you're supposed to derive your joy from him and his word. And that joy is going to come from the inside out. Hallelujah. So let's go to another verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at the 12th verse. Let's go back to the verse 10 and read up to it. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, peace, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. But out of them all, glory to God, the Lord has delivered me. Well, what a... See, we love that testimony, don't we? Well, I wish I had a testimony like that. Well, all you have to do is follow Jesus just like Paul did. Oh, I couldn't do that. You know, I couldn't, because that kind of life doesn't look like the life everybody else lives. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Our life is not supposed to look like everybody else's. And that, see, that's the mentality that I am so concerned that I see it. It has infiltrated the church. So to the point that the church people think that their life is just supposed to look like the rest of the world looks. You know, the rest of the world has big, nice houses and beautiful cars. And if I don't have those things, well, then I feel shortchanged by God. See, that mentality is not right. That's not God. Well, isn't that prosperity? Prosperity is having your needs met, not necessarily having excess to the point where your flesh is just satisfied and has all that it wants and craves. When your flesh has everything it wants, well, I tell you, that can just lead to trouble right there. You know, God didn't come here to this world so that your flesh can be just satisfied with every little whim, every little desire. That's not what Christianity is about. And I really believe, and this is kind of what the Lord has been dealing with me about, you know, that mentality that, like the American dream here in this country, seems like it has crept into the church, and we feel like if we don't have these things that the world says we're supposed to have, well, my goodness, why has God forsaken me? What are we thinking? That's just, there's no difference there between the Christianity and the world. And God did not come so you could have that fourth, fifth car, and you know, and have that six or seven big screen TVs in your house, or else you just can't cope with life without that fourth or fifth big screen TV. What? You know, if your big boat out on the water isn't the biggest one, well, my goodness, I can't live. How can I, I'm in despair because I'm not making $150,000 a year. I can't live. It's terrible. The persecution. Oh, for heaven's sake. See, those are examples right there of a person who has adopted the world's mentality. That's not God's thinking. I am in no way coming against somebody that makes a lot of money. So long as your first priority is Jesus. I don't care how much money you have. As long as when he says, I need this much for you to send this much over here, that you don't balk at it and say, well, my goodness, I can't because I've got that six matching Cadillac that I've got to go buy. I can't give anything away. It's all for me. See, Jesus talked about the person that had the barns and he had the fields, and he pulled down the barns because he had excess and he had to build bigger barns. Yeah, he didn't have a good end, if you'll remember correctly. Why is that? Because his focus was not on Jesus. His focus was on his stuff. We're not supposed to be focused on our stuff. We're supposed to be focused on Jesus. Let me finish here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I got to the good part there. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me, verse 11 once again, at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, verse 12, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. That's just not a verse that you hear very often on Sunday morning, I don't think. Because that's not something people want to get out of bed on early Sunday morning, get all cleaned up, go to church and hear about that. They want to hear about how can I live a much better life here on this earth? How can I be, all of my needs and more? How can I have all of the, how can I have the world and Jesus at the same time? That's what I want to hear. How can I have all the stuff the world has to offer and Jesus will get it for me? Tell me, how can I have all of that? And Paul didn't teach that. Paul taught us right here in this life, you shall have persecution. I mean, it is part and parcel of being a Christian. But look again at what he finishes verse 11 by saying, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. See, God's not sending anybody into a situation and God's sitting there wringing his hands. Oh my gosh, I just don't know if I've got enough, I have enough to get this person through. Not at all. Wherever he sends anybody to go, no matter what it is, the victory has already been won. Jesus has already conquered this world. Wherever God sends us, he sends us as victors, as conquerors. He's not sending us into anything, wringing his hands, wondering if we're going to make it or not. Wherever he is asking us to go, wherever he is directing us, whatever he's wanting us to do, he's already given us the victory. Glory to God. Now, it may be that in the process of going through to the other side, that there may be some challenges, there may be some tight spots, may be some difficulties. But he's given us his word. And all we have to do is trust in his word. And he will take us to the other side. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar verse here. Few verses, Matthew 7. We're going to begin reading in the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Let's stop there. So the person who hears the sayings of Jesus and does them. And we were talking about hearing. What did he say in John 16? These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. Right here he says, therefore whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Hearing in doing. I have spoken unto you, you might have peace. The only way you have that peace is by hearing the words he spoke and doing what he says to do. And that's what he's saying here in Matthew 7. You see how these two verses, how they complement each other. The hearing that brings peace comes because you hear and you do what he said to do. See, if you're just hearing, but you're not doing, then you're not making that connection. You're not. It's like putting a plug, electric plug, into a receptacle. You can sit there and hold that plug all day, and you're not going to have the benefit of what's inside that receptacle until you plug it in. It's the difference between hearing and hearing and doing is taking that plug and plug it in And now you're connected to that source, and you're going to reap the benefit of being connected to that source. So here in verse 24, therefore, Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended. See, that rain descending, and it says, and the floods came. Well, that can't be describing a very fun situation. You know, that's not describing something that, boy, I'm looking forward to that flood coming. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a great day when the rain comes and the flood destroys my house. No. You know, that's describing challenges, difficulties, things in your life that you look at and people stress over, and they're worried, and they're anxious. You know, they're all their stomach is in knots. They're all upset about things. No, you know, we're not supposed to be like that. When the rain comes and the flood rises, because we hear and do the word, those things can come, but they're not going to affect us. Why? Well, it says right here in the 24th verse, whosoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a man which built his house upon a rock. You're building your house on the rock. When you hear the sayings of Jesus, and how do you do that? How do you hear these sayings? You're opening up the Word of God and you're reading it. That is the hearing that I'm talking about. You're reading this. You're putting His Word inside of you and doing what He says to do. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, hearing and doing, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When you hear the sayings of God and you do them, you, in fact, are building your house upon the rock. And when the floods come, and they're coming, and the wind blows and the rain falls, your house will not fall. Why? Because you have built your house upon the rock, because you hear and do the sayings of God. You hear and do His Word. Hallelujah. That's good news. See, that right there, that will bring you peace and joy in the midst of any storm. That is good news. Verse 26, Matthew 7, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not. Okay, this person heard the sayings of God, but didn't do them. He didn't do them. Why didn't he do them? That's a good question. Why didn't he do them? Why just hear and not do? Well, that's a real good question. I have a feeling that there are a lot of people, Christians, guilty of this very thing. Hearing and doing nothing with it. Do nothing. Just hear and not do. And what does it say about that person? Hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, the storm came against both houses. It wasn't that it picked on one over the other. No. It wasn't that at all. It came against both of them. And the difference was the house that stood, the person in the house that stood, they heard the sayings of God and did them. I believe that must be one of the greatest attacks the enemy has for a Christian, to hear the sayings of God and not to do them. To hear them, to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. If you're a hearer and a doer, you'll be blessed in your deeds. But if you're a hearer and not a doer, what it's saying here is you're in for destruction. You have deceived yourself. You're self-deceived by believing that just by hearing that takes care of it. It doesn't. You have to do something with what you hear. And it's that way with every aspect of the Christian life. Every aspect of it. Whether it's whether you're believing God for physical things in your body, whether you're believing God for finances, whatever it is that you're standing on His word, believing for the word to be fulfilled in your life, you got to know that there's going to be tribulation that's going to come, persecution. Mark chapter 4 talks about it. Persecution, tribulation, and then there's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in to choke the word, to render it unfruitful. All of those things came for what reason? For the sake of the word. It's the word. If the enemy can get you to turn loose of the word, if he can get you to be a hearer and not a doer, he's got you. If you think that just by sitting in a church pew on Sunday morning, hearing some man go on about the things of God and you do nothing with it, and you think that you're going to have the peace and joy of God in your life, you're self-deceived. If you think that it's just going to fall off on you like ripe cherries off of a tree, you're self-deceived. It's not going to work that way. It works when you put His word to work for you. That's when it works. I can tell you from personal experience, that's when the things of God will work for you. And it's not that, don't misunderstand, it's not that God is wanting to hold anything back from us. He's not. He's done everything possible, everything, to get the victory over to us, everything. And it's up to us, not up to God. God is not. Don't ever think that God is in heaven sitting there contemplating whether or not He's going to bless you or not. I just don't know. You know that Mark, he's just been a character lately. And he's not, you know, there's been a little bit of sin in his life. I just can't bless that. I can't bless him. No. No. I'm just going to put a little sickness on him. That is just, I don't even like to say that because that's such a lie. It's not God at all. Not God at all. God is our Father. He's our Father. What father would put sickness on the child that they love? No good father would do that. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. See, people that have those kind of ideas, they don't know their Father. They may know religion. They may do it cross all the T's and dot all the I's and be just like the Pharisee was. But they don't know our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father would never, never do anything like that. He would never withhold anything from us. He's given us everything in Jesus. Everything. And would never hold anything back from us. It's up to us. Are we going to take our Father at His word and be a hearer and a doer of the word. Build our house upon the rock, so that no matter what wind comes, no matter what rain comes and beats against our house, we will not fall. We will not fall. Our Heavenly Father can send us into whatever situation He needs us to go into to reach the lost. Glory to God. And we can know the peace and the joy of God as we go into those circumstances, into those situations, no matter what it is that He's sending us into. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a family situation. Who knows what it is? But we have to be willing to go into those places, willing to follow Him, willing to take Him at His word, that by following Him, He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to meet our needs. Father, I'll follow You. Jesus, I'll follow You wherever You want to send me, for the sake of the people that You're sending me to. You see, we got to get our eyes off of our little selves, off of our own little world. You know, the idea of us four and no more. You know, we got our own little world right here, and it's all about us. So we have to break free of that. That's what the world has taught us to think like. God doesn't think that way. God has the world that He has on His mind, not just us four and no more. He's got the unsaved people that He wants brought into the kingdom. And we, if nothing else, just pray, Lord of the harvest, send laborers into Your fields because they are white unto harvest. You can pray. You say, well, I just don't know what I can do. You can pray, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into Your fields because they are white unto harvest. You might say, well, why do I have to pray that? Why doesn't God just do it? Because He's given us the responsibility in this world. As His children, He's delegated His authority to us. And it's up to us, what we do with that responsibility, with that authority that He's given us. Amen. Well, I hope that blessed you. And I don't set your sights on living like the rest of the world lives, and think that that's God, because that's not God. Amen. God has something much better for you, much better than just having all of your fleshly desires met. He has something much better, something that'll bring you joy that the world can never experience. Amen. Glory to God. I'll pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that this message would encourage people, encourage them to turn to Your word, turn to You, build their house on the rock, hear Your sayings, and do those things that You say to do. Because the storms are coming, the wind is coming, and it is going to blow in against our house, and we want our house to stand. Glory to God. We don't want it to come crashing down on us because we look like the rest of the world. No, we're different. We're Your children. And God, we pray that Your will, not our will, but Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.